Daryl, praise team, I appreciate it, and thank you for being here tonight. I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 22 with me this evening. Genesis chapter 22, we are continuing our study on the foundations reading that we're doing daily, or I hope you're doing. Many of you are, and I hope you've been blessed as I have as we've read through these passages of Scripture. I started out the first in this series just looking at the creation account, and we looked at some of the highlight of from Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, in fact, again tonight picks back up. We won't go there. We may refer to there later on, the life of Abraham, and gives a lot of attention to Abraham, and he's going to be the center of our study this evening, and especially a very specific chapter in the life of Abraham, a very specific event in Genesis chapter 22. And so I pray as we look at this and allow God to speak to us that His Word will just once again penetrate our hearts and teach us some of these wonderful truths, these promises that Brother Don got you to share a few of. And if you didn't have enough of those, maybe you'll get a few more here in tonight's passage, and you can hang on to some of those. So I'm going to read for our opening text, verses 1 through 8 of Genesis 22. After these things, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young man, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together, and Isaac said to his father, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. And so they went, both of them together. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this foundational passage of Scripture that you bring us to tonight in our study, and even this last week in our daily reading. Lord, I pray that we will open our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us this evening in this wonderful truth that you are truly the God who provides. And Father, we just pray that you'll guide our preaching, our thoughts tonight, and help each one of us, Lord, including myself, to receive your word in such a way that it would just mold us and make us into the very image of your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, and I just give you a brief background, when we think about Abraham, and we jumped right here kind of in the middle of his life in chapter 22, it's the end of chapter 11 and chapter 12 where God called Abraham. It was interesting this week when I was doing some background study, one of the commentaries I was looking at, it's called just an overview, it's called The Message of the Old Testament by Pastor Mark Dever. Mark Dever is a wonderful man of God and theologian, and he titles his work, The Message of the Old Testament, he entitles that, The Promise Made, the whole Old Testament message. The Promise Made. Mark Dever says this about Abraham and about Genesis chapter 12. The most critical event in the Bible between the fall of Adam and the birth of Jesus Christ occurs in Genesis 12 with the call of Abraham. He makes this observation: just as God displays his character in creation, God also displays his character through the special people whom he has called out of this world. Abraham marks the beginning of the patriarchs of God's chosen people. And God called a people for himself. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would also be known as the children of Israel, where our spiritual heritage comes from even tonight. And so it just is so fitting in light of that and so much more that I'm just able just to quickly highlight for you this evening in this passage of Scripture. It's just so fitting that we take a little bit of time and focus on the faith of this man, Abraham. And so in chapter 12, when Abraham was called, he was already 75 years old. Some of us are ready to hang it up at 75. And Abraham was just getting started. Amen? If you're a senior adult here tonight, which that includes most of us, we ought to all say amen. We want to finish strong. I want to finish strong for God's honor and glory. God called him to leave his homeland and his country and go to a country. And he was looking for that country, even as the writer of Hebrews tells us. And then in chapter 15, God established his covenant with Abraham by promising him that his very son would be the heir of the covenant. And in that important chapter 15 and verse 6, we're told these great, wonderful words that will forever be near and dear to our heart. And Abraham believed in God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And even Paul reiterates those words in the book of Romans and tells us the depth and the meaning of what that meant for Abraham by faith to believe in God. And thus God counted it unto him for righteousness, that through his own salvation. And then in chapter 17, God confirmed the covenant by assuring him that his wife Sarah would bear a son, and even named him back then in chapter 17. His name would be Isaac. And then in chapter 21, we see the fulfillment of that promise, and Isaac was born. And so I missed and overlooked a few things just for brevity's sake, just giving you some of the highlights of what brings us to chapter 22 here tonight. And so as we look at this under the big heading, the title this evening, just simply, God will provide. That's what he told Isaac in verse 8 as his son Isaac asked him, "Where's the lamb?" And he said, "My son, God will provide." And he would later elaborate on that, and we'll come to that even in the process of this message. But the first thing I want us to know in God providing for us is up front for us, it's not always clear how or when or where or why he's going to provide the way that he does provide. We don't have all the answers when God provides. And so it's very interesting in verse 1 of our passage, before we get into the provision of God, oftentimes we have to walk through the testings of God. Look at the passage with me once again in verse 1. "And after these things, God tested Abraham." That's a word that we can read very quickly, but to let it sink in, it takes on a lot of spiritual challenge for us. A lot of us want to live life simple and easy, and we never want our faith to be tested. But just like last week when we talked about Job and how God was the one who brought Job to Satan's attention and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Tonight it's if such as God is testing Abraham in this great school of faith to see if Abraham's faith is genuine and sincere. And God knew it was. That God wanted to challenge Abraham to go to that next level, as we often see on this, and we can grasp this and realize the significance of these tests that come into our life and how God uses them to develop us and make us and mold us and mature us into the very servants of God that He's calling us to be. One of my favorite quotes, and I told Teresa last Sunday night, and I know now why I didn't share it last Sunday. I've shared it before, and you'll probably hear me share it again. Just simply says this: a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. It was interesting in reading some of these things why others were not tested, because their faith wasn't strong enough to be tested. And so tonight I wonder where we are in our journey of faith, if we would say, God, help me be strong enough to be tested in my faith when things come into my life that I don't understand. And tests, they come into our lives and we're never prepared for them when they come. And sometimes tests are referred to in Scripture even as trials, but they're there to help us grow. Sometimes people confuse temptation with trials or testing in our life. And I would just, in a quick way, just bring this to your attention tonight. A temptation comes from your own fallen desires, your depravity, as James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, comes from within. But a trial comes from the Lord, and He has a special purpose to fulfill in our lives. Although temptation comes from within, testing comes from God, from without. And so we would say temptations are used by the devil to bring out the worst in us. Trials are used by God to bring out the best in us. And we must always understand and try to be very careful that we don't just quickly dismiss something that may be a major test of our faith that God is bringing into our life to help us grow deeper with Him and know Him in a more intimate way. And so these trials and these tests that God allowed to come into Abraham's life as He was wanting to prove Abraham's faith to be genuine and real, just the way He wants to prove your faith to be genuine and real, that these tests, they come from God. If you have just a minute, turn with me over to James in the New Testament. As I keep referring, and God keeps showing me, especially in these Old Testament passages that we're looking through, in God's Word, as we see this and we understand this, that the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture itself. And in James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, God's Word tells us, "For we know that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." And so there's many passages of Scripture that talk to us about testing and how God uses testing for different reasons in our life. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "In this you rejoice, though for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the testing, the genuineness of your faith," in 1 Peter chapter 1. So God allows these tests or these trials to come in our life to purify our faith, to perfect our character, and to protect us from sin. And so it's just like when you think about, sometimes we resist it even in school, if some of us can remember back, or when you're taking an exam of some sort. And we resist those things. They create a little tension in us. But those things are there to prove the genuineness of our achievement and the criteria that is the testing come into our lives by. Well, God used tests to make sure that we are tracking with Him. And it's a way for us to take personal spiritual accountability in our own lives. And there are times in our lives that we must admit to God that, God, I didn't always do well on that test. God, I flunked that test. But I found it true in my own life when something like that occurs and I make a mistake and I don't have the faith to follow God in an area that He challenges me to step out in, that God is so gracious to one day let me take that test again. Isn't He a good God? If we don't learn the lesson the first time, He'll bring it back to us again. And some of us are kind of stubborn. It takes many times, amen? It does. But God has some tests that he wants to show us. So God was testing Abraham. And he said to him, this test, mind-boggling, in verse 2, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Take him and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in which I will tell you. I don't know about you, but that's quite a test. That had to be the ultimate test. As I was playing through this week in my own mind, I was trying to play the devil's advocate of sorts and think to myself, I'm sure Abraham must have had a few doubts at first. Scripture doesn't really lend too much to that direction, but I was, guess, just kind of reflecting my own weaknesses and my own humanity, which isn't always the healthiest thing to do. But sometimes I would think Abraham, if that would have been me, would have said, God, don't you remember that's the son of the covenant? And you know, God's answer would have been, I know, Abraham, but I'm still asking you to do it. A faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. And so the Bible tells us that Abraham wasted no time, and we see him going forward in verse 3, because Abraham was going forward in the test. And so when our faith is tested, we must remember that we must focus on the promises of God. Standing on those promises we just got through singing about. Couldn't help but think of this part in my message when we were singing about it. When our faith is tested, we must focus on the promises of God rather than our own understanding. It's so important. God's going to test us in areas that, humanly speaking, just does not make sense. We can't figure it out. And that's the reason we call it faith. Because God calls us to live by faith and to walk by faith, not by sight. And Abraham was known to be a man of faith. And so God was wanting to take Abraham to that next level. God knew what was in store for Abraham and for the rest of his heirs that would follow Abraham as they would continue to fulfill the promises of God and go forward in their faith. And so verse 3 is very clear, and I love verse 3. He rose up early in the morning, he saddled his donkey, he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he arose, and he went to the place which God had told him. You know what that verse describes? Obedience. Obedience. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so Abraham set his face toward the way of God and went forward. You know, life just doesn't always make sense. I think God gives us other great insight on this, and I couldn't help when I was studying that passage of Scripture to think about one of our favorite passages of Scripture that talks about faith and following God. It's a passage that many of you have looked at for years. I'm going to look it up here and just re-highlight it for you. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, God tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and do not lean to our own understanding. Abraham didn't. And all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And that's what faith is all about. Trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. I don't know what it is tonight that God's asking you to step out in faith. What area of your life that he's testing you in. But whatever area it may be just going to the next level with him in your spiritual journey. Just going deeper with him. It may be a more dedicated devotional time with Him, as we are encouraging you to do so with the foundation study, and you just hadn't got there yet. And God is testing you, and you're being tested by God. And He's going to see, are you going to pass the test? Are you going to step up to the plate? Are you going to go forward by faith and wake up like Abraham did the next morning and get your act together and go forward in faith with God? That's what God's asking us to do. And He's asking us to trust Him and to follow Him. And so he was focusing on the promises of God and not on his own understanding. And so Abraham goes forward to that place which God had told him. I know we're looking for the provision of God. And that's what this sermon's about tonight, and this sharing time is to help us remember that God is a God who always provides. But listen, He only provides for those who go forward by faith. You get it? On the big things when God is challenging us, that's the reason Abraham found the provision, because he obeyed God and he followed God and he went forward by faith. Now the passage goes on to tell us that as we think about God telling Abraham these things and Abraham focusing on the promise, I want to be very specific with you on this, as we, Brother Don, had not knowing what I was going to preach tonight, challenged you to know some of the promises. And it says on the third day in verse 4 of our text that Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And then Abraham said to his young men, he said, guys, you stay here with the donkey. He said, and I and the boy will go over there and worship. Now don't miss the last part of that verse, verse 5. He simply says, and come again to you. We're going there and we're coming back here. How did Abraham figure that one out? By faith. He figured it out. See, Abraham took God at his word, and that's simply what faith is. And if you'll turn back just a few chapters to Genesis chapter 17, which was one of our other days of reading in our foundation book, you know, Sarah tried to intervene in the covenant promise and encouraged Abraham, and they both were guilty of this sinfulness, and Sarah gave Abraham her handmaid to, because she couldn't conceive children and she didn't really trust God fully enough. And so Hagar bore this son by Abraham named Ishmael. And in chapter 17, God had already told Abraham it would be one of his heirs, and it would be through him and Sarah. And so Abraham's kind of in this dialogue with God. And in verse 18 of chapter 17, Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And the very next verse is the promise I'm referring to in verse 19. God said, no. You know, no is in God's vocabulary. Some people say God never answers my prayers. One of the words He answers our prayers with often is no. It's not what my will for your life is. You're asking for the wrong things, or not now. God has a large vocabulary, a lot larger than ours. And God told Abraham, no, it will not be Ishmael, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you will call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. No wonder he would say to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and we're going to go up there and worship, and we're going to come back here again. Because Abraham was more focused on the promises of God than he was the understanding of man. There are so many people in our lives that have a tendency, well-intended people, to sometimes distract us from focusing on the promises of God. And it's the promises of God that will see us through. And we see this, that Abraham continued to go forward by faith. And then in verse 6, he was focusing on those promises to go forward and what God told him to do. This must have been so difficult. He took the wood, the burnt offering, he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they both of them went together. And Isaac said to his father, "My father," and he said, "Here am I, here I am, son." He said, "Behold, I see you have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Isaac was an older young man by now, older teenage boy or young man, perhaps even in his 20s, as he went up that mountain with his dad, old enough to carry the wood, old enough to converse with his father, old enough to think through the process of what this meant for him. He didn't know what it meant for him, and we don't have all of the conversation, I'm sure, that took place between him and his father on this occasion. But we see that Abraham focused on the promises of God, and he moved forward by faith. And when we focus on the promises of God in our life, we can move forward in faith. Whatever it is that we're struggling with, whatever it is that God is calling us to go forward and to deepen our life for Him and to be the people that God has called us to be. And then finally tonight, as this evolves from verse 8 and goes on down into a few other verses in the chapter, the final thing is we have to, once we focus on the promises of God, we must look for the provision of God. We must always be aware that in God's timing, divine timing, at just the right moment, when we think all is lost, God will show up. He always does, always has, and He always will, especially if you're being obedient and you're following Him by faith the way He's calling us to. And so the passage continues that they came to the place which God had told them in verse 9. Abraham built there an altar. He laid the wood on it. He bound Isaac, his son. He laid it on the altar on the top, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham reached out his hand and he took the knife to slaughter his son. Some say, would he have killed him? Yes, he would have killed him. Hebrews 11 tells us that. But he says, before he did, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham," with an exclamation point. He said, "Here I am. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He passed the test with flying colors. He was looking for the provision of God. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there real quick, gives us a very interesting insight on that. Since I made the statement, I want to back it up with Scripture so you'll understand exactly what we're talking about there. If you'll look in Hebrews 11 and verse 17, God's Word tells us that by faith Abraham, and get this, in Hebrews 11, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it is said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Isn't that insightful? He thought, if God go through with this, I believe in God enough that God will resurrect my son. Amen? Have you heard that before? You know of another son that was offered that was resurrected? His name is Jesus Christ. And by faith, Abraham went forward. And there's so many parallels to this provision that Abraham saw. Now, the rest of the story from Hebrews 22, in case you've not read all this in your foundations book yet, just simply after God said, "I know that you fear me," and God commended Abraham for his faith. He said, "I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son." Abraham had literally, folks, I'm going to use an expression that we sometimes use. Abraham had literally laid his all on the altar. Whatever it was that was holding him back from fully trusting in God, God had called Abraham to see, are you willing to give that to me? And Abraham did. His son, his only son, whom he loved. And Abraham, after God had commended him, he lifted his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram, he offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Abraham's faith grew that day. He learned Lord, and he learned that the Lord would God, his God, would provide. Abraham was a man of faith, but his faith grew deeper that day through that test that God put him through. This term for God that's used here, the Lord will provide, is Jehovah Jireh, and it simply means the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. Isn't it good the way God reveals himself to us in fresh new ways when we follow him by faith? And so our God is a God who provides. Now, in a practical note, the application of this passage challenges me, as Paul would say, I urge you, therefore, brethren, based upon the mercies of God, that you would offer your own lives in Romans chapter 12 in verse 1 as a living sacrifice unto me. He urges us. So I don't know what it is for you tonight that's holding you back from your faith going to the next level. It might be a hobby. It might be a habit. It might be a relationship. It might be some possession. But whatever it is, God may just be testing your faith tonight in your heart, asking you, will you give that to me? Will you give that to me? Will you offer it to me? Because I really want your faith to be what I've called it to be. I want you to be a man or a woman of faith who can follow me no matter what I ask you to do. And then on a far deeper note, besides just the practical application, we see the prophetic picture that's laid out here. Because there was another father who said he loved his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son whom he loved. And he told him this. And the father asked that son to walk up this very same hill, Mount Moriah, where now the Temple Mount area is. And his son laid down his life, bearing that burden of not just the cross, but more specifically of your sin and my sin. And he went there and he laid it all down so that you and I would have everlasting life and have the possibility of an eternal relationship with him. So don't think for a minute that God doesn't know what it's like to give your all. He gave the greatest gift he could give, the gift of himself for you and me. And I just simply ask you tonight, what's God asking you to give this evening? Brother Darrell's going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. If there's a prayer need in your life tonight, or a burden that you're carrying, or some stumbling block that you just need a spiritual breakthrough, and you feel God may be speaking to your heart tonight, me and Brother Don will be here for a few minutes in the altar to pray with you, encourage you, and help you in your walk of faith. Let's stand together as we sing.
Come every soul. my sin appraised.